Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and I just don't, we don't realize that it's dangerous to sing your way in through traffic.
Yes.
Get into an accident that way.
Yes, man. You know? Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Before we get into our ranch, I wanted to say to you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. MECU.com is a place to go, or you can go to steinershow.org and click on their banner. All right, so where do we want to begin? Let's cue up something here before I introduce my guest. We'll come back to hear a little bit of it, come back to hear the whole song later. This is a group that comes out of Baltimore. It's on one of the posters we're about to talk about. One of my favorite groups from back in the day, the Royalettes.
Too blind to see you letting me go. Now that you've set me free, it's gonna take a miracle.
Sheila Ross, who is the lead singer for the Royalettes, was going to be with us today, but she lost her sister.
Yes.
And could not be with us, which is a shame. I'm sorry about her sister passing and her grief. But
who also is a member of the Royalettes.
Who's that?
Anita. Her sister was a member of the group.
Yes. And that's Milton Duggar, who is the impresario, Gumption Records and more. He's with us and knows more about this than most of us. He's forgotten more about this than most of us know. Navasha Dye is in the studio, founder and director of Spiritual Arts and Science Institute, singer-songwriter, has been on the show numerous times. Good to have you back, Navasha Dye.
Hey.
Jonathan Gilmore is in the house.
Hello.
The man with the golden voice is here with us. He'll be singing this Saturday night as well. We'll talk about that. And Karen Somerville is in the house. She's Associate Education Director for the Creative Alliance. Good to have you all here.
Thank you. It's great to be
Thank
here.
Thank you.
410-319-8888. Probably go back to the Royalettes and talk a bit about who they were and what this whole period was. Karen, let me let you talk a bit about this this Globe poster showing and what's happening.
Globe poster, not to be missed, is a collaboration between the Creative Alliance and the Maryland Institute College of Art, and they have a wonderful curatorial practice program where students get to come up with really innovative ideas and content to show through an exhibition. So Chloe Helton Gallagher has grown up with her parents being music historians, just around soul and jazz and funk and blues all her life, was really interested in the history of Globe Poster, a poster printing company that was around since 1927.
All right.
They were in business for 81 years, so they shut the doors because of the internet and amendments for what DC would call visual trash. But these iconic, eye-popping posters that will be around to advertise, genres of music such as soul, funk, hip-hop, go-go, and more. So it's just a sliver of the collection being shown at the Creative Alliance right now. You walk into the space and you hear music that's associated with the posters. There's tons of programming happening around this, including a show this Saturday that we'll talk about. And it's just a beautiful exhibition that's inspired a lot of programming we have at the Creative Alliance.
And both Jonathan and Lavash will be singing at this performance.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
Yes, yes,
right.
Y'all.
We can convince him. We'll give him a little tease to put out there so you can hear some of his voice, these voices and what they can do.
Nice.
But let's talk about this period of time. Folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. Mm-hmm. Many of you remember the Globe posters. I mean, they didn't stop. What year did they stop? 1980?
No.
They stopped in 2005. Yeah. They were in operation until then, until they had to close their doors and MICA obtained the collection. So they are going through thousands and thousands of posters. They've already counted about 120,000 block types that were used to create these posters.
Wow.
And unfortunately, a huge collection of jazz posters were just thrown away from 27 to the late 30s.
Thrown away.
Oh my goodness.
Thrown away. So, Globe Poster, they saw what they did as creating advertisement pieces.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't value it as visual art. And, so MICA is helping them find that value in it. And, of course, everyone recognizes its significance now. But it was a method of advertising that was special to Globe Poster that no one else was able to duplicate.
Mm-hmm. So, and Milton, you and your groups and people you used to produce when you used to sing back in the day, you can still carry a tune.
Oh, please.
We know these guys, the Globe Poster guys. I mean,
well, tell us about it.
Yeah, Milton knows them well.
I met Shapiro.
The original.
There was nobody like Mr. Shapiro, and they were down at that time. They were on Marketplace, and up on, I think it was 9th floor, and he was quite an interesting fellow, to say the least. Sort of a gangster, sort of a guy. I don't have to meet him, but he was a wheeler dealer. But they just had it. They had it. You talk about. I finally got them on the post I brought here that they did for us in 1999 to start putting the years. I said, Frank, you guys never put the years on the posters. No, and he said, no, they didn't. It didn't matter. It was just the date. And so now in the waning decade of their existence, they did start to put the year. So there's a reference to that. A little story for you. Those of us who are out of Baltimore, remember a guy named Rufus Mitchell, whose brother was Blue Mitchell, the famous trumpet player. But Rufus Mitchell was also known as Old Dude, and he'd book shows. He booked shows at your favorite place. He's the guy who booked the shows at the Cars Beach.
Cars Beach.
Sparrow's Beach.
Right.
And he had a circuit.
Little Willie. We knew Cars Beach without Little Willie
exactly.
Adams.
Exactly. He was one of the cronies.
Right.
And so what they would do is they would make up, to have Globe make up the posters, all right? And they'd hit the town. They'd get the bus. They get the tour bus together, get whoever the players and who was going to be the feature. It might be Otis Redding. It might be, anybody, Winfield Parker out of here, whatever. And what they would do is they'd start on Monday in a town, and they'd take these posters and they'd put them up saying, Friday night at so-and-so, we're coming. And they would create their own musical circuit that way. A great idea.
And people remember, do you all know what Cars Beach was?
I've heard.
I might say I've heard about it. Definitely wasn't there.
Yeah. you're an old dude, Mark.
Cars Beach was a spot because that black folks were not allowed to go to the beach.
That's right.
You couldn't go out to the ocean. It just was against, right. Was segregated. You couldn't get to the beach. There was a sign in Ocean City that said that if you were black, you had to be. But even if you were working there, you better be out by 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So it was. That was it, right? So. Willie Adams, who ran numbers in this town for a long time, then became a really big, legitimate businessman and backed park sausages and other things and became a real kind of, was a pillar of the community, invested in things. And he invested in Carr's Beach. He bought this property so that black folks in Baltimore and D.C. could have a beach to go to. Mm-hmm. That was Cars Beach, and they used to have all these shows.
On the Magathy.
On the Magathy. On the river. On the Magathy River. And there was a black middle class community that had homes on the Magathy.
That's right.
It's interesting because I brought my grandmother to see the Globe Poster exhibit, and she remembers going to Cars Beach, and she said it was the only time that we partied with white folks to see the same musicians at
Mark,
the beach.
Mark was one of those. He used to come down to the show. So I know three or four buddies of mine who said, I used to go down there.
And Globe, of course, designed a lot of posters for those concerts.
Oh, yeah.
All of them.
And visually, so that people can understand, you know, what they look like, they would all, they said if you couldn't read it in 3 seconds, it wasn't worth it.
That's right.
So you always knew who was performing, where, and the date.
That's right.
You may find out the time and the ticket prices later on in the poster, but it was definitely a visual, you know, just, it was beautiful. And they would have them everywhere, and you would see birthday cakes, posters associated with holidays. Really, really beautiful work.
So Jonathan, I'm curious, what is it about this music that grabs you? You're a young man.
This music has pretty much been my whole life. I mean, I've been around it forever. I mean, a lot of people would think because of my mother, but,
Leah,
you know,
Gilmore.
Beyond, right. Beyond her, like my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, like it's really a soundtrack. You know, I can't remember a cookout, a party, anything without music being heavily, 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 heavily a part of it. And I have an uncle, I have several uncles who all think they can sing. And they sing along with it, and it's absolutely horrible. But
must be on your father's side.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love them to death, but, I mean, I can't hear certain songs without their voice a part of it. And they went to Cars Beach. You know, my father often talks about he saw Aretha Franklin there. And for my family, Aretha is kind of like God. It's like, oh. So, you know, it's just been a part of it. And I remember going to the barbershop, seeing these posters up on the wall over at Parks Barbershop on Ricestown Road. And they were just there. And I was like, oh, it's so colorful. Who in the world are the Tim Prees? I don't know these people. But, you know, even as a little guy, it made an impact, you know. I can't think about the music without seeing the poster.
So let me, what are you going to sing Saturday night?
Who, me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I'm doing a lot of different stuff. I'm doing a real mix of blues and soul and kind of that early black rock kind of sound. Baby Huey, if anybody remembers him, and LaBelle. I'm doing some B.B. King, some Muddy Waters, some Ray Charles, definitely, and Al Jarreau, who is just a personal favorite.
So quite a mix there, man.
Yeah, right.
Maybe we can cajole a little something out of Jonathan before this show's out today.
I don't think it's taking much work, personally.
I don't think so either. Navasha.
Yes.
But what, also you. That this.
Oh, this genre?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, I'm a singer.
It's also what you sing.
Yeah. Yes.
You are.
I mean, I'm a soul singer
right.
that sings in different genres. So I believe soul singing is an actual energy through the different styles of music, because you can sing soulful, classical soulful, rock soulful, country. You know, just because you're singing R&B doesn't mean they've mastered the soulfulness. So I've come to realize I'm a soul singer that can sing jazz and world music. So for me, the biggest part that gets to me with this is that I'm around a lot of independent artists. I'm one of the, you know, one of the independent artists folk around the scene for a while. And we really miss these kind of shows. Like, we need that. I'm talking to artists who have been had Grammys and things like that, who are no longer generating money because we have to come together as artists. We need brave promoters to put the shows together. So we need this back again, in my opinion, in regards to bringing the genres together with a flyer and a whole show touring. There's no touring opportunities where you can open for someone anymore as an artist. So for me, soul music and this genre of music, it's very healing. It's very necessary. It's the history of American culture. And it's what I grew up with as well, you know, and so it's very relevant and it's very important, and I really desire to have this back. I did do a Royal Theater show when I was, like, just out of college with a brother who helped promote it back in the day with Mesa Leek and some other people when I was in my young 20s, and they were talking about the Royal Theater, and I got to sing some songs and just the impact it had in our community in Baltimore on Pennsylvania Avenue, of course, you
Absolutely.
All know. So for me, it's just very important, this genre.
It is.
Just real quick before you said on Grammys, they're taking the soul out of the Grammys. There's no genre. It's urban, you know, like there's no genre for soul music. Even if you watch the live performances, there's no pioneers. Herbie Hancock and them got like 10 seconds to play. Like, what is that? And everyone else, you know, Taylor Swift get a whole, like, all this town with a big scene. What is that? They're like, you know, oh, I won't say that. But they're dismissing soul music. And it's very not cool because that's what our culture and our America is about. One of the major aspects and influences around the
world. There's no question. Even to the songs that are out today. Mm-hmm. So
it's that capitalism, you know? Mm-hmm. But we won't go there.
The wrong side of it, for sure. Yeah. I think one of my producers, Bobby Martin Holmes, has something queued up, but he hasn't known what it is yet. So let's see what he's got. And maybe we can guess what it is, Duggar.
People too, mess around. They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody doing the mess around. Everybody was juiced. You can bet your soul. They did the boogie woogie with a study roll. They mess around. They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Mess around. Now, when I say stop, don't you move a peg. When I say go, just shake your leg and do the mess around. I declare, do the mess around. Yeah, do the mess around. Everybody's doing the mess around. Now, let me have it, there, boy.
Mess around.
Yeah, yeah. I'm dancing.
Right. That was before my time.
That wasn't before your time, Duggar. Ray Charles.
Yes.
Mess around.
Yes.
That was early Ray.
Yeah. That's when creator, he got that sound, music. That sound.
Well, and Ray Charles was one of those guys who also could sing in almost any genre on the planet.
Yeah.
You know.
Jazz, blues, country.
Mm-hmm.
It is frightening to be sitting with three people who can't see what I see.
What is that, man?
I can see Ray Charles being escorted to that white piano on the left-hand side of the stage at the Royal Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting down and beginning to tell you the story about, I got a woman.
Way over town.
It was phenomenal, and I am really sorry for you that you could. I'm not talking about the late Ray Charles, mm-hmm. in terms of the later. I'm talking about when it was the Royal Theater Ray, mm-hmm. Charles.
Well, one of the biggest,
before he became, you know, world famous.
One of the biggest crimes in Baltimore was that when they tore down.
Absolutely.
The Royal, mm-hmm. Theater.
Absolutely.
That was just,
yeah,
a crime.
Absolutely.
Against culture.
Yeah. And it,
yeah,
was.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting through the posters to see this history. A lot of different venues represented in the posters, but the Royal Theater is a story told through the posters.
Yeah.
So let's go to the phones, get some calls in here before we go to break, okay. And then we'll come up with some more stuff. 410-319-8888. Hank, you're on the air. Hank, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. You're on the air, man.
Hey, let me turn my radio down real quick.
Yeah, do that. Good.
I enjoy the music that y'all are playing, right? Hey. Just a little bit of my grandfather was kind of old when I was a kid, right? And I used to have to give him a bath. And he used to have this little radio, this antique radio that he would play. And I would always be like, Pop, can we listen to something else? Stop. Benny Goodman on. If you had, I said, can we listen to the Commodore? Benny Goodman on, boy, leave me alone, right?
Okay.
You know, I'm top the job and swing you well. Hey. You guys do what y'all do, and I got a couple of venues, and I'm definitely into promoting older shows,
okay,
for the 35, 45, and older.
All right.
Me at Bear Arms, ENT 2012, and leave me your number so I can definitely try to book y'all for a show.
All right. Hank, always good to hear from you, brother.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see you Saturday, Hank.
Right.
Come on out Saturday.
Before we go to the next caller, who I know, and other people on this panel will know, tell them how to get there Saturday night.
Yeah.
We can't say prices on public radio. not allowed to say it's such and such.
That's fine. Whatever it is, it's worth it.
You can say how we can get the tickets, what time it is.
The concert's being held at Creative Alliance at the Patterson. We're located at 3134 Eastern Avenue, and you can call the Creative Alliance at 410-276-1651. You can also purchase tickets online at creativealliance.org.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
It's going to be a good night.
It's going to be a great night.
You want to say the number one more time?
410-276-1651.
That's the old Patterson Theater.
It is.
That's
old
the old Patterson Theater. Yeah. And it's been converted to our center.
That's right. You hear what he said?
Right.
We couldn't go.
I've heard that a number of times. And some people still think it's a movie theater. And some people have that memory of not being able to go.
Right. Oh, it stays with you a long time.
Right.
Exactly. And it's an art center now. We have a theater. We have galleries. And the main gallery is where Glow Poster Not to Be Missed is displayed. We have an education department, which I work in, and provide free art education to young people in the area. And there's actually a free Globe Poster style printing workshop for teens being offered this Saturday during the day. So this Saturday is packed. It's packed.
Do they get to keep their poster?
They get to keep their Globe Poster.
Oh, that's so hot.
Oh, that's very cool.
That is great.
Day Glow?
They may use some Day Glow ink. The ink that you can see at night when the headlights hit it.
See it other places too. Well, I'll stop now.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short little break and come right back. I thought you said we had to take a break. 1 minute. What do you want to do for 1 minute? Why don't you take out what I wanted to play next and play her for a minute, then we'll come right back with our guest and our next caller who we'll all know when we pick up the phone.
And I can't say hello, but I should try. He is just the kind of guy I'd like to know. I want to meet him. I want to meet him. I keep thinking of him.
Say play it, Steve.
Yes. Right.
Talking about Steve Cropper, the magnificent guitarist for the Booker T and the MGs.
That's right.
The man who wrote half of this stuff that you hear from Stax Records. He's still out there. Went over to see Booker T. Jones at the Howard Theater.
You did.
Booker T of Booker T and the MGs. Wow. There were about 25 people, and I was so ashamed, I couldn't believe it. Well,
yeah,
that's a story for another day. My young lady was talking about wanting to have shows featuring these people, but will you come out to see them?
Yeah.
That's the voice of Milton Duggar, impresario, Gumption Records, old friend, Lavasha Day is in the studio, founder and director of Spiritual Arts and Science Institute, singer, songwriter. Jonathan Gilmore is with us, incredible singer. You'll hear both of them Saturday night at the Creative Alliance.
Absolutely.
And speaking of Creative Alliance, their associate education director is here, Karen Somerville. And number is 410-319-8888. Let's go right to the phones.
Okay.
And mystery caller, number one, you're on the air.
Email.
Go ahead, mystery caller, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
That is hilarious.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Hi,
I'm an extreme mystery caller.
Right.
Everyone I love is sitting around your table, you know?
Thank you.
We love you too, Lisa.
Yeah, we love you,
Leah. My mama.
We're all here.
Yes.
Your baby boy's in the house.
I know. This is Leah Gilmore, who totally would want to be there if I could. But I'm so proud of you. This is going to be such an amazing show. And you have two of the most talented people going.
Yes.
You know, not that I gave birth to one of them. Okay. He is always my little boy, but he is also such a talent. And Lavasha is amazing.
Oh, thank you, Leah. Mm-hmm.
But you know that. You know that. And Karen, you too. And the gentleman, man, he's such a, like an encyclopedia.
Milton Duggar.
Yes.
Yeah, Leah, you remember I had to remind you that you were going to be with Mark at this.
Remember you. Yeah, I remember you from Mark's
right,
event.
The 50-20.
Yeah, yeah.
You so, put that together and you got his age.
Yes, that's not true. Don't lie like that, Duggar. Not yet. You must be looking in the mirror, bro.
I'm not going there.
Good. I'm so glad you're going to be visiting with us Saturday.
Oh, absolutely.
If that means you have to miss tonight, then that's okay.
Yes.
It's unfortunate. Yeah, but I am going to be there Saturday. I am going to be up front. I'm going to move whoever's up front. I'm just going to scare them with my hips. And I am going to... His father, Jonathan, and David and I, we're going to be sitting there screaming for all of you. It's so nice. It's so nice to actually be in the audience.
Yes.
You know, what a perspective.
It is nice to be down there and not have to be on stage.
Yes, it really is. It really is.
Well, so save two places.
Save two places?
Yeah, on that front row.
Oh, yeah, because you're going to sit next to us and we're going to scream.
That's right.
It's going to be four folks singing. So instead of, you know, we used to call that the Amen Corner, but you can't call that for soul music. Yep. We call it the Oh Yeah Corner.
That's
okay?
Right.
Okay.
So I have a thought. Jonathan, do you want to do a little number? Give the people a sense, because some people haven't heard you sing yet.
Oh, okay, sure.
What would you like to do?
Little Ray Charles. I'm doing some Ray Charles on Saturday night. And
let's do it. You ready?
Yeah. All right. It brings a tear to my eyes when I begin. Yeah, when I begin to realize. Oh, you see, I've cried so long. Ever since you've been gone, I guess I'll drown in my own tears.
Yeah.
Well.
Don't do it, man.
Jonathan Gilmore.
All right, man.
Jonathan Gilmore. Lavasha, can we tease you into doing something?
I was trying to think, like, what am I?
You
want to
wait a minute until you find something?
Yeah, I found something I can do.
You do?
It's not what I'm singing this Saturday, but I just want to offer it.
All right, go ahead.
Meet me on the moon soon as you can. In the middle of the sky, you and I, riding on a cloud, soft as you please. We can sail upon the breeze to the everlasting moments of love. Now stop there.
I'll stop there. So, you know you want to come this Saturday. You know you want to be there Saturday night.
Yes.
Now, you can hang with for a minute, but let me go to the next caller here, though.
Sure.
Before we hear some more. 410-319-8888. Joe, you're on the air. Got Joe up in the air there?
I'm here.
Joe, welcome.
Hi. Who is this?
You're listening to the Mark Steiner Show. It's Mark Steiner.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm joking. I go back to the era with Carl's and Sparrow's Beach, Lil Willie, Rufus Mitchell, old dude, Globe Posters. I was a co-promoter with Rufus, and I was I started down Sparrow's and Carl's Beach in 1955.
Okay.
And then I also traveled myself with my group and Mitchell. I had three agents, but I'm familiar. As a matter of fact, I handled all James Brown stuff on the East Coast, doing all the colleges. We were very close up until his death.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be glad to share some information with you, and I'll tell you who else I am. I'm that same fella that down the Civic Center when we started going up there, when Al Green and Rick James was popping. That was me, to bringing them in there. And when they opened up the Meyerhoff, I was that black that they let in there, coming in for Donna Mathis, Dion, Ray Charles.
Amen.
That whole bunch, that was me.
All right. And so
also did the stadium in D.C. as well as in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
and Soldiers Field up in Chicago. So I do know. I mean, I know you're trying to hear and learn about the past. I'd be glad to, you know, you can call me sometime and I'll share something with you.
Well, we'd love to, man. Just leave your number here before you go. What's your last name?
Gladney, G-L-A-D-N-E-Y.
Joe Gladney.
Joe Louis Gladney.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know me.
That's a show.
Of me. Who is this?
Milton Duggar. That's a show unto itself, well, my brother.
Then you know I'm not no joke.
Hell no. You the real thing.
Well, you know I'm not a joke. So, no. But anytime, I mean, this is the first time I really came forth because of the fact that y'all on the right track. You're trying to look at our past.
Exactly.
That so many people don't know about, and they pass it by, and then the two want to tell you something. The ones that try and tell you something, they don't know squat. They tell you what they heard and sidetrack you. But you know, I have some. James, we've been friends, but I handle all his college tours.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Know?
We're going to say something?
I was going to ask you, can you come out on Saturday night?
Yeah. I would love to meet you.
It sounds like we need to see you Saturday night over there.
I need to meet you.
that
is amazing.
Are you talking on Eastern Avenue?
Yes, sir.
On Saturday.
Yeah. You know, the place we couldn't go to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know all about it. I went in there once because of the fact that I ran into a young fella that was doing drawings, and he took me in there and showed me around. Right. So it's just been maybe about 3, 4, 5 years ago, okay. I guess, when you first get started. But
you
definitely got to come down Saturday and get a taste of a little bit of everything, because not only can you enjoy the concert that will start at 8, but you see this entire collection of the Globe Posters in the main gallery. There's the music playing, and there's a power-packed panel discussion before the concert that starts at 6, talking about the history of soul, R&B, and go-go, and what connects all of that. And we have a restaurant, so it's no excuse not to have a great time.
Can I put your name at the door? You'll be my guest, Milton Duggar, Mark Steiner's guest.
Karen is a guest.
Well, you don't want to be your guest.
Yes, you'll be my guest, of course. But Karen.
I mean, I ain't looking for no highlights and spotlights.
We might put it on you. To be careful.
I'm already there. So, but I come to share.
That's what I was. You know, that's what I want him to do. He could possibly. come up on the panel.
Right, exactly.
I think that I can tell you some things that you don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Anybody, I say this, and I think that gentleman that you talked to, I have to see his face. Anybody that's anybody have worked for me.
Yep.
Well, Joe, look, we're looking forward to meeting you, and don't hang up because we'll let Bobby Marvin Holmes, producer, pick up the line, get your telephone number, and we will call you after the show.
Yeah, man.
Yes, and, I want
to
meet you.
Look forward to meeting you.
Yep.
I give you my number. You can call me anytime, and I'd be glad to. Let you pick my head a bit.
Gotta be good. Well, Bobby's gonna pick up the phone and get your number.
Just stay on the line,
Joe. Thank you. Don't hang up. All right. Well, see.
Hey,
this is great. I'm
so
pumped.
What?
but I'd really like to know is whether he usually listens to your program.
Maybe he was going through and he heard the music. He's
right.
Like, what is this? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Pull him in.
It's very interesting.
Well, you don't know. Yeah. Last fun drive we had, Sand Hannah's drummer called. Mm-hmm. Listens to the show, lives here in Baltimore.
All right, awesome. Now, Mark.
You know, and then
Dennis Chambers.
And the Funkadelics.
Yes, basically, yeah.
He lives in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
You should play in my son-in-law's band.
That's unreal. I mean, you know, you start naming all the guys who live in Baltimore who go out with these people across the country.
I got a chance to meet Michael Hampton on the Capitol Jazz Cruise. Mm-hmm. He's from Cleveland. That's where I'm from, one of the homes of funk.
Yep.
Cleveland.
Yeah, that'll be giving a little taste of funk. This
I know that is it.
So go ahead.
Pick up, can you throw another piece on there for us to listen to as we're here? Let's do what I was suggesting earlier and see if anybody can remember who this is. Uh-oh. Just from another era.
Happened to me in the good old days. You couldn't do nothing you wanted to do. And you better not open your mouth. If you did, they'd knock your brains out. They hit my brother in his mouth so much with a backhanded lick until his lips is way down here. Looked like he got on a turtleneck sweater. Everything your parents picked for you to do, who do you to love, who you to go out with, who you even to marry. Think of somebody picking somebody for you got to spend the rest of your days with. Make no difference what condition it was in. If Daddy said so, that was it. And I wasn't nothing but a child. Nothing but a child, 14 going on 15 years old, and just as cute as I want to be. Hair hanging down my back. See, I'm half Indian. And the other half, the beauty parlor takes care of that.
So... Do you know who that was?
Yeah, man.
I know you know who it
was. Mabley.
That's
Mabley,
it.
Mabley, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that because I was walking through the posters, gallery today at Creative Alliance. The second poster was Mom's Mabley.
Mom's Mabley.
Yep.
You'd find her on Lafayette in Pennsylvania anytime when she was in town at the Royal Theater.
Right.
You could see them all. Pearl Bailey. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing. And to go there and see this grass plot.
The little...
Right.
Sad.
In a way, these posters are reviving. You know, everybody wants the Royal back. Everybody wants this feeling back, this urge to go to these concerts, this quality music back. Yeah. And we have it. And Rosa Pryor was actually at the opening last Saturday, and she was on a panel with the Ciceros, and she said, you know, you knew you made it when you were on a Globe poster.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
And she said, and the moderator asked, who would you all want to see on a Globe poster? And Ciceros couldn't think of anybody, and they were thinking. And Rosa finally said, I want to see all the performers that are busting their butts to try to make things happen, that need to get out there, want to be exposed, to be on Globe posters.
All right now.
And there's something about that. I mean, maybe we could just get the style back, get the Royal back, and get it going.
We can start the New World Theater someplace.
Well, that is the problem. You know, once you tear an icon down, even reconstructing it at the same spot.
Right.
It's not the same. It's you know. I mean, I can actually smell the.
You took the words out of my head, man.
I can smell.
I took the words out of my head. Exactly. I can smell the place.
Exactly.
I can smell the seats, smell the spot, and just
And even if it's not the not the physical venue, just the idea of at the Patterson.
Right, because Pennsylvania Avenue is still alive, and people are still down there, and that's where all of my family came through.
Yes,
all of them, both sides, from North Carolina on up. They lived on Pennsylvania Avenue.
When you said hot dogs, made me think one of the things that was different back then was that it was only in the black theaters that they served hot dogs. The white theaters didn't serve hot dogs.
That's right. Oh, wow. And each had a different taste from the New Albert to the Royal to the Regent to the Met Theater along Pennsylvania Avenue. Each place had its different hot dog taste and flavor.
Wow.
And I was there so much. Each of them, the aroma of each of them is still with me. I mean,
I know.
I can tell it.
410-319-8888. Just go back to the phone to your Mimi. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Mimi. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Good evening. I wanted to make a comment. I know that you've previously featured the Martha's Place and the Jubilee Arts Center.
Yeah.
On Pennsylvania Avenue.
Right.
1947. And I just wanted to make the comment that that's an area on Pennsylvania Avenue that is trying to bring the arts back. Pennsylvania Avenue. Survival. It's starting with the youth. They have youth programs for creative writing, dance, all types of dance, music. Of course, it's through a holistic ministry. And if anyone is interested, JubileeArtsBaltimore.org is the number, the email address.
All right. Mimi, thank you so much.
They're doing great work over there.
Yeah,
and a lot of it initiated by the pastor. I saw the pastor of the church associated with Jubilee teaching hand dancing classes. I mean, it's awesome. Okay. It is awesome. They're doing great work over there.
Wow.
Well, it would be good to have the city kind of invest as much time and money in Pennsylvania Avenue as we do other parts of the of the city to bring that back.
Absolutely.
And it could be done. It could be done.
Yeah.
You know, you can't recreate any place's heyday, but you can create a new heyday for it.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And the art scene is really, when you have, you know, art really lets you know what the community is about and where they're, you know, where they are consciously. And so with us having a lack of that and just having open mics in small places, it has had a major impact on artist development here in Baltimore and just the legacy of us seeing elders doing their thing and hoping and wanting to be that and then being mentored by them and then coming into your heyday. Because right now, the quality of art, people are on stage, but it's like, who's telling you it's good? You got to watch the greats. You got to have people say, I dub thee, you're good now, child. I had Ruby Glover, praise the Lord.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Ruby
Glover,
she was wonderful.
And that was really important to me, but... You know, we really are missing that, the elders, and then maybe some olders who are a little younger than elders, kind of, you know, kind of creating a space where
olders.
Artists can come, where artists can come and really, you know, hone their craft.
Absolutely. I mean, not to call you an elder, Navasha.
Oh, my God.
But,
no, she said older.
An older, right. I knew that I must have been doing something right when I sung backup for you. I was like, okay, I must be doing something
voice.
But not calling you an elder. But
I'm still not that yet.
You're not even older, yes.
Right.
Not all the way now.
Right, but
you have the whole conversation.
So we'll come back to the elder conversation later. Let's play this piece, and then we'll go back to the phones. Ready? Hit it.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
Right. Thank you.
Get that.
She may be weary. Them young girls, they do get wearied wearing that same old shaggy dress. But when she gets weary, try a little tenderness. You know she's waiting, just anticipating for things that she'll never, 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 never possess. Yeah. But
while she's there waiting, and without them, try a little tenderness. That's all you gotta do. It's not just sentimental, no, no, no. She has her grief and care, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the soft words, they all spoke so gentle, yeah. It makes it easier, easier to bear.
Come on now.
Come on.
Yeah,
now. Come on.
Let's rock and roll.
That's it. Right.
Oh, wow. We were on the air.
Right.
We were on the air. You didn't know that, Navasha?
You know, okay. All right now, they were, yeah.
Mark, okay. When these tunes would come out, I'd go to Mom and I'd say, Mom, you know, I hear this new song. This, try a little, whatever it was, but let's take this one, try a little. And she said, it's not new. I said, yes, it is. It's Otis Redding. That was out in the 20s, in the 30s, mm-hmm. You know. The brilliance was the rendition was new.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to cover a tune, you don't want to do the same thing that was done before.
No.
Why are you covering it? If you're not going to do something
right.
original, mm-hmm. never make a cover tune. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's right. My action.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And this guy and this group went into the studio and made something of an old tune that is... What, 50 years old now?
Otis was just like, his voice, his whole presentation was just different. I mean, he just had, his style was so, so unique.
You heard me talk about Otis?
Remember, Jerry Butler, Feel Precious Love, Otis did it too. Otis had his own rendition. I mean, he owned that. I love Jerry Butler's piece because I grew up with that, but then Otis was just like, he just owned it. He took it over.
Speaking of Jerry Butler, did you know that he wrote the song for Otis Redding? I've been loving you too long.
Right.
Stop now.
Chicago City Councilman, Jerry Butler.
Oh, wow.
Iceman.
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 As good today at almost 80 as back then.
Speaking of back then, you know who died today in
1988? Who?
Talking about a 60s personality. Eldridge Cleaver.
Wow. No kidding.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. He was a headline.
Just throw that out there.
He was a headline maker.
Soul on Ice.
Mm, yes, indeed. Interesting. Very interesting.
So, once again, Karen Somerville.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what can I say? A lot of the performers that we've been talking about, you know, this evening, you're going to see their images on the posters. There's actually a James Brown wall on the back wall, and there's vitrines in the middle of the gallery. And one of the vitrines is super interesting because it's a case study of exactly how James Brown's orders came in. And a lot was done over the phone. Mm-hmm. And actually, he worked with Gold Poster for a long time from Baby James to Preacher James. But you can actually see the handwritten order, you know, the notes from the phone call. I mean, this is all foreign to us because everything's internet now, email, you know. So, and then you can see Frank's hand or actually drawn mm-hmm. plans for the poster.
Yep.
And there's so many stories that go along with that. But we're just so glad to have this this concert and panel discussion on Saturday that's really just going to, you know, bring back a lot of memories for people. And for the younger people, just bring up another level of appreciation for this music representing the show.
So tell us once again how people get there.
People can, it's at the Creative Alliance. It's Navasha Dea and the Soul Protectors with Jonathan Gilmore. Creative Alliance is located at 3134 Eastern Avenue. We're located in the historic Patterson Theater, 410-276-1651, 410-276-1651.
Mm-hmm. So please join us there.
You better come on out and check this out.
It's gonna be good. I want to thank all of our guests.
Special time.
Norton Douglas, always great to have you with me.
Glad to be always.
My dear friend and brother, good to have you here. Jonathan Gilmore.
Oh, thank you.
Navasha Dea.
Yes, Mark.
I'm excited.
Thank you so much, Mark.
So now the panel thing begins at 6.
The panel begins at 6.
And that's open to the public, too.
It's open to the public, and yours truly, Milton Duggar, will be on there. Sheila Ross.
We are hopeful.
And Daryl Brooks, who worked closely with Chuck Brown.
Mm-hmm.
We have Juju House, who was a drummer for Roberta Flack, David Sanborn, and Chuck Brown.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to be some really, really good conversation.
Yeah.
Wow.
As well as Mark Perrier from the Smithsonian Folklife.
Oh, yeah, right. I know Mark. Yeah,
and Kip Lornell, author of Go-Go and the Beat.
Hello.
So.
It's going to be a great night. Good music, good conversation.
Absolutely.
Lovely restaurant. Have a drink.
Yeah,
hang
Marquee
out.
Lounge.
That's it. Be there.
Yes.
Good to have you all here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
See you Saturday night.
Yes.
Saturday night.
See you
all right. We're going to take a brief break and come back and switch gears and talk about integrative medicine. Don't go away.
All right. Dancing shoes.